Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This holiday season, if your tiny one is on the nice list, pick up Tickle Me Elfmo.
Hi guys! Merry Christmas!
Tickle Me Elfmo is the great new Christmas gift from the producers of Santa Claus Street.
Are you naughty or nice?
With over 1,225 holiday phrases that will keep your elf in the Christmas spirit all year long.
Who wants an eggnog?
Order right now on Elvazon or pick one up at Elves R Us and take advantage of the special $12.25 discount.
Happy holidays from Tickle Me Elfmo!
But hurry, this special price is only good for 12 days.
F*** the Easter Bunny!
That's Tickle Me Elfmo from the producers of Santa Claus Street and Mattelf.
Santa's innocent!
Tickle Me Elfmo is not a real product and is presented solely for satire.
This podcast contains talk about criminal activity and may paint a not-so-flattering picture of some of your childhood heroes. It even includes a few cuss words and may not be appropriate for your youngins. So, you may want to earmuff them or send them outside to play. Thanks for listening. You heard that right, Santa Claus. My name's Richie Buck. I'm a former pest control technician, carpenter, and sometimes wise man in my church Christmas program.
Happy holidays, everyone!
As for my current situation, I'm an invest depositor. And the jolly man you just heard on that recording? Well, last year he got locked up. This year, he's gone and busted out of jail. And guess who's going to drag him back to face the Christmas music? You can thank me later. This is season two of Santa May Be a Criminal, an ongoing Yuletide investigation.
You got anything out other than cookies and milk? Did you have something like bangers and mash?
And this is the 11th day of Christmas. 11, 11. When I was a kid, I had a lot of wishes, but I was taught I could only make wishes in specific situations, like at my birthday party when I blew out the candles on the cake.
Happy birthday!
If I was lucky enough to see a shooting star, or if I found a solo dandelion and blew its Bob Ross seed wig from the top of it into the big happy sky and through the pretty little trees.
Don't make mistakes. We have happy accidents.
Those three wishes, those were the special wishes. That easy. Everything else? Well, they were prayers. And when prayers didn't come true, we were always told that, well, it was just God's will. But one day, I found a loophole. You see, there were two other times every single day that you had access to that very special wish factory. The problem? You had to really pay attention. And if you ask any of my teachers throughout my years in school, they'll tell you, I had a hard time paying attention. I guess that's the thing about life and why most wishes don't come true. We're all just so damn distracted.
Buck!
So back to the wish loophole. Two times a day, every day, the clock lands on 11:11.
You've got a phone call.
I was told that when the clock strikes that time, you have to close your eyes, make a wish, then expect and accept the fortunes coming your way. It's kind of a combination of a wish and, well, faith. The older I got, the more I learned that this wasn't just something that Mom and Dad conjured up. 11:11 was apparently something lots of people knew about. At least they did in the 80s and 90s, when times were simpler. You see, 11:11, that's how I learned to tell time. It's also how I learned to watch clocks. It's what made me become so impatient, and it's also what helped me figure out how to make time work for me.
You've got 11 minutes.
For a second there, I thought he said Elven minutes. I think from now on, that's what I'll call it. Elven.
Hello? Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you.
Seriously?
Never gonna make you cry. Never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
Derek? Derek Rudolph?
What's up, Richie Buck?
Did you really just Rick Roll me while I'm sitting in jail?
It's Richie Roll, and besides, I thought you could use a laugh.
I could use bail.
We'll get to that. So tell me, what the hell happened?
I punched a guy.
A guy? Richie, you didn't just punch a guy. You punched Bradley f***ing Pitts!
He deserved it.
Look, if a guy deserves it, you ask him to bum a smoke. You take him into the alley, and you give his dentist some work. What you don't do is assault him in the middle of a f***ing cocktail party at a public f***ing event in Las f***ing Vegas, Nevada, where there's a f***ing camera every f***ing feet, especially if it's someone like Bradley f***ing Pitts.
You know I'm going to have to bleep all that out, right?
Look, Richie, this is serious.
Sorry, I'm new at this whole naughty thing.
It's fine. Look, I shouldn't be doing this. As seeing you're trying to hang my client like a stocking to a far-reaching mantle.
That's not true.
I did, however, appreciate the metaphor.
I'm just trying to get him back to Georgia to answer for what he did to Ruthie Barker Guest.
Oh, Buck. Come on, man. Listen, you ever heard of a presumption of innocence? It's innocent until proven guilty, Buck. Look, I like you, Richie. So here's what I've already done. I've called Bradley Pitts.
Don't you mean Bradley Pitts?
We've got limited time here. I need you to focus, Buck.
Says the guy who started the call by Rick Rolling Me. Sorry, Richie. Richie Rolling Me.
I've smoothed it all over. He'll accept a contribution in your name to his charity. We'll do a photo op next month, and this will all go away like a fart in the wind.
Just like that? I don't have to go to trial or anything?
Oh, Buck. Don't be so naive. The justice system doesn't always take place in front of a judge or a jury. Come on, man. Wake up and smell the mistletoe, my friend.
And he's not going to hit on Myra anymore?
So what if he does? She can handle herself, can't she?
He's right. She can. She was a boxer, for Santa's sake.
So? Do we have a deal? If so, you'll be out in an hour.
What about Billy?
Krampus? You want him in on this, too?
Yeah, he was protecting me, after all. You should have seen Pitts fly. He looked like Dasher after a few liters of Hunch Punch on Christmas Eve.
Stop.
You're laughing.
Cool it. You're serious about the goat man?
Look, I know he's annoying as shit. I know he's a loose cannon, but he's as loyal as my old puppy Star.
Fine. I'll make it work. But you've also got to do something for me.
Here we go.
This is how this works, Richie. I do something for you.
I get it. What is it?
I don't know yet, but I will. At some point. You're signing an IOU. Deal?
Deal.
When's your flight?
This afternoon.
Good. Get on the plane. No detours. Okay?
Got it.
Say it, Richie. No detours.
No detours.
Perfect. Myra and Melvin will be there to pick the two of you up in an hour.
Thanks.
You owe me, Richie Buck. You know what? You are one lucky motherbucker.
I know. I know I do.
Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you.
I never in a million years expected I would end up in jail in Las Vegas during this trip, but here I am. Thankfully, I'm leaving now. After getting all my stuff back, including my mics and field recording gear, my wallet, phone, and most importantly, that four-leaf clover, which, so far, hasn't worked as advertised.
Here's your phone, your recorder thingy, your clothes, and what's with these?
The jailer's holding up my shoes.
Red shoes? You have red shoes.
Yeah, I'm Richie Buck. I'm the Santa Man.
You look more like Ronnie McDonnie to me. Come on, let's go.
He gives me a minute to put my real clothes back on and leads me toward the exit, towards freedom. The door opens and, as I'm walking out, I think, this must be confusing for you. The audience, I mean, because you've heard stuff that happened during my brief stay at the big house. As you know, I'm always recording, but that wasn't possible while I was in custody. Even still, since I was without my gear, you're probably wondering how I got all that audio. Let me break it down for you. Well, as for the audio from the corrections officer, I used his BWC, that's body-worn camera, and from the jail phone lines, well, they are also always recording. Easy FOIA request for both, and I had the audio. I did have to take a little run around, and that's part of the reason this episode's been delayed. Anyhow, that's how it all came to pass. The guards lead me out front where we wait for Myra and Hogg. The sun is shining bright and I try to check the time on my phone. It is unfortunately dead. Standing out front already is the goat, Billy Krampus.
Jesus, how long were we in there?
I'm not sure.
Are we dead?
No, we're not dead.
Are you sure?
The car pulls up and out steps the prettiest girl in the whole wide world, Dr. Myra Abernathy, the gal that has totally won me over. I can't wait to...
What the hell were you thinking?
Happy to see you too.
Richie, you got arrested.
Yeah.
Over a fight, for me.
And people say Chivalry's dead.
You don't need to fight for me. I'm already your girl.
Look, I know.
Then why did you do it?
I pause. I don't really know the answer to that. Maybe because I didn't feel like I needed to fight for Santa anymore. Maybe because I feel like I always need to fight. Maybe I need to enlist my better elf therapist's thoughts on this. Hashtag valued sponsor.
Do you realize what's going on right now?
No, I've been in jail the last few hours.
It's blowing up.
What's blowing up?
The video of it.
Video?
She pulls out her phone and shows me a blurry video of me, Billy, and Bradley's confrontation.
They can't tell that's me.
That's Richie Buck and a goat man!
Well, shit.
Shit is right.
Look at that kick, though. That right there is why I never miss leg day.
Thank God for that.
Looky here! A couple of ex-cons!
Hogg approaches. The desert wind sweeps through his hair like he's John Waite in a bad English music video.
That's right. Don't you forget it. I got hard in there.
You got a hard in there?
Yeah, hard.
You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Of course it does. I got hard. I am hard.
Okay, Billy, we get it. You're hard.
Damn right I am.
Can we just please head to the airport?
But we've got like 6 hours before our flight.
Well, it's clear. We can't give you any space or time to make your own mature decisions.
You want a piece of me, Melvin?
Maybe I do. I've had about enough of your donkey-ass bullshit.
That's specious.
Hogg walks toward Billy with a balled fist.
Let's get this hard on.
Stop.
And then Krampus kicks me in the ribs.
Look what you did, you ass.
That's specious, too. Damn it, Richie. I was trying to kick Melv. I mean, Hogg.
It's okay.
Sorry, man. I'm just so hard right now.
Stop saying hard.
Jeez. Sorry, Miss Buzzkills. Or should I say Mrs.?
Shut up, Billy.
Can we please just get to the airport?
Myra's stressed, annoyed. I don't blame her. I just want to give her what she wants now.
Yeah, let's just go home.
We get in the car and drive in silence for a while. Everyone, even Krampus, seems scared to utter a word. I plug my phone in and start checking the dozens of text messages I've received since the arrest, until something in the car door pocket catches my eye. It's a colorful flyer.
Wait.
I grab it and flip back through. It's the brochure for Harry Houdonnet's Mortuary Museum of Oddities, Airships, and the Unsolved.
We've got to go there.
Derek Rudolph told me no more detours. He should have told you too.
This isn't a detour, it's on the way.
I know. It's a technicality.
Richie.
Please. Remember, he claims to know where Santa is.
I point at the brochure.
I mean, what if that's true? That would make this whole trip worth something.
Well, if he knows where Santa is, why hasn't he come forward to claim the reward money?
I don't know. Loyalty? Honor?
Or maybe it's just all bollocks.
I love it when Myra uses British words like bollocks, loo.
Come on, 15 minutes. That's all I'm asking for, babe.
I reach over and squeeze Myra's hand. She glances at me.
Pretty please?
I feel her resolve melt away. Her eyes return to the kind glow that I've fallen in love with over and over again.
Derek will not be happy.
He doesn't have to know.
You'll have to be on your best behavior.
I will.
Billy, did you hear me?
What? Am I too busy being hard?
Myra slams on the brakes and stops in the middle of the desert highway. She turns around and sticks her finger in Billy's face.
If you say hard one more bloody time, I'm going to march you out into the middle of the desert, pull your eyeballs out through your asshole, and bury you so no one ever finds you. Do you understand?
Billy and Hogg look at me. I slightly shake my head.
Answer me! Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
And you're going to be on...
my best behavior.
Do not make me stop this car again, William Bartholomew Krampus.
Wait, Bartholomew?
Harry Houdonnet sits on a sparse piece of land in the middle of the Nevada desert. As you drive up the long, snaking dirt drive to the parking area, you pass by what look like UFOs stuck vertically into the ground. There are also vintage planes and plane parts. The bumpy road leads to a large building that looks like an air hangar. Outside, there is a statue of Amelia Earhart shaking hands with an alien. So, it's definitely an oddities place.
Oh, I already regret coming here.
Give it a minute, sweetie.
Amelia Earhart was freaking hot.
Shut up, Bartholomew!
Whoa. Look at all those airplanes.
Billy is right. There are planes lined up deep into this massive hangar. They're behind a rope, so we approach a glass counter that itself is filled with little oddities. Inside, I see an owl's talon, a rabbit's foot, and a four-leaf clover. I smile. Behind the desk, reading an old yellowed newspaper, is a man. He's wearing a leather jacket over a white t-shirt, jeans, cargo boots, and aviator sunglasses. At least he's dressed the part.
Hi, is Mr. Whodunit here?
He looks up at me, and I realize he's got a soggy, half-smoked cigar in the corner of his mouth.
Who's asking?
I'm Richie, and this is Myra, and Hogg, and Billy.
The man stands, and I realize he is really quite tall. Taller even than Hogg, though not as broad. He takes an imposing step towards us. Suddenly, I feel a hand in my chest as Hogg steps between us.
We're looking for an elf.
You're looking for an elf.
Hogg pulls a pamphlet from his pocket and smacks it into the center of Harry Houdonnet's chest.
Santa Claus, at the risk of false advertising, says right here you know where he is.
Well, I do.
You got someone that can watch the counter while we go chat?
Mary, take the register, please. I need to have a chat with my friends here.
I'd really rather look at the planes.
I glance at Billy.
You boys go. I'll take our kid over here to look at the airplanes.
When she said our kid, I got a little warmth wash over me. She still doesn't know I want to propose. I do have to get a ring first.
You coming, Richie?
Yeah, sorry.
Harry Houdonnet takes me and Hogg to the very back of the museum. He scans a key card and opens a door and leads us down a long, dark hallway. Every few steps, the next overhead light blinks on and the one behind us blinks off. It's impossible to tell how long this hallway is, but after a minute or two of walking, we arrive at an elevator. And we get inside. A red light illuminates the interior of the elevator, and we start our descent into parts unknown.
Are you taking us to where the aliens are kept?
If I did, I'd have to kill you.
Harry Houdinic smirks. After another 15 seconds, the doors open to a smaller hangar where pristine vintage airplanes are showcased in their shiny glory. The walls are also covered in eclectic art.
This is my favorite room. Now only VIPs get to come down here. Everything's a display from the women I admire most on Earth.
Wow. Is this?
Oh, a first edition, To Kill a Mockingbird. You know, you could maybe pass for Atticus Finch.
Thanks.
No, not you. You look like Malibu from American Gladiators.
Oh.
And here we have some of my favorite artwork. Here's Mary Cassatt, Georgia O'Keeffe, and Frida Kahlo. And over here, my prides and joy.
Are those Earhart's planes?
You've got a good eye.
I have to. I've got an eye patch.
Yes, I can see that.
How did you get your hands on these?
Various ways. The story of how is not nearly as awesome as why I love them. My philosophy is to always start with why and work from there.
Okay, explain.
The only plane anyone ever talks about is the one Amelia and Fred were in when they went missing. People forget the machines she commanded, the miles she flew before that day. Those miles are in fact why she made history.
He has a point.
It's terribly unfair to be remembered only for your worst day. Don't you agree?
Unless you're a criminal accused of killing someone.
Like?
You know exactly who I'm talking about.
Santa Claus. But even you don't believe that, do you?
Harry looks at me a long moment.
You don't really believe he ran Ruthie Barker Guest down, do you?
Well, they had a messy history.
So do I and my ex-wife. I haven't flown one of those into her back.
He gestures to the aircraft in front of us.
How'd you even get them out from down here?
A magician never shares his tricks, you know that.
Look, I believed in Santa until he busted out of prison.
Oh, I know. I listened to your podcast.
Too bad he hasn't joined Elftreon yet.
And you still don't see it?
You blame him for breaking out? Everyone in there, always trying to curry favor with him to get on the nice list in case he ever were to get out? Even Dewberry pandered.
I don't believe that.
Of course you don't.
Harry Houdonit seems to know a lot more about Santa's time back home than I thought. It occurs to me, maybe, that flyer isn't bullshit. Could he actually know where Santa Claus is?
Think about it. What Jasmine told you.
How do you know, Jasmine?
It doesn't matter.
The hell it doesn't?
Easy, Melvin. I know you got a thing for her. It's a shame she's crushing on Goat Boy up there.
You son of a...
Easy, Hog.
Sorry. I haven't had my Ovaltine this morning.
And there's a tension I've sensed between Melvin and Bartholomew.
Come on, then. I have some.
Then will you tell us what you know?
I'll tell you everything I can.
I'm Allison Dixon. Maybe you've read some of my books or listened to me yap about movies, cults, and Stephen King over on my other show, Ding Dong Darkness Time. But what you may not know is I also love studying history, and I've built myself a time machine to find us some bad guys. Every episode of Vintage Villains will take you on a fascinating trip through decades and centuries past to explore the crimes and the times of some of history's biggest outlaws, as well as those who've escaped the magnifying glass of today's inquiring minds. So have your bags and boarding passes ready, friends, and subscribe to Vintage Villains wherever you get your podcasts. The train will be rolling into the station soon. Don't miss it.
Hog and I sit at a table across from Harry. Hog and Harry with their Ovaltine and me with a black coffee. Ironically, a plate of cookies sit between us.
It's funny, but I really thought you'd get here sooner. I think he did, too.
Tell us, how do you know Santa Claus?
Well, it's a funny story, actually. I was involved in some of the Black Ops military programs that dealt with stealth aircraft. A few years ago, Santa realized he was being picked up by even novice radar operators. One day he showed up at my door and he told me that he'd put me on the permanent nice list if I could help him with a stealth sleigh design.
But doesn't NORAD follow him every year? I mean, I always see that on the local news.
They only do that for the kids. It's not real.
Childhood perceptions continually destroyed.
So, I helped him out. Sent a few designs up to Nopo in the L-Force.
Did he use them?
I don't know, but I get a thank you card every year.
All of this is a really sweet story, but you still haven't told us where he is.
That's where it gets tricky, Melvin. I promised Santa I wouldn't give his location away. He said you'd be here, but he also said you'd have to find him, fair and square, like the pickle on the Christmas tree.
For those of you who may not know about the Christmas pickle, which could have been what I called the podcast. So on Christmas morning, when the family arrives around the tree to open presents, the first one to find the Christmas pickle gets to open the first gift, and they also get to choose the first Christmas song. I think we know what song I'd play if I found the pickle. I think Harry's point is that we have to earn it. Through the prickly pine needles, looking past shiny tinsel and Hallmark ornaments, beyond the memories and traditions of our past and into the future.
Can you tell us anything of value? We've come a long way.
Well, Santa said I could tell you that there's a reason the windshield is larger than the rearview mirror.
And how helpful is that? He doesn't have a windshield or a rearview mirror?
I mean, that's kind of what I said, right?
You know, I'm a very plain kind of guy. All this metaphor and paranormal BS doesn't do anything for me. I want you to tell me where the elf Santa Claus is.
Maybe that's why she likes Billy then.
Wait, what?
Jasmine, you know you can't toss the core of someone's character out and expect them to fall in love with you.
Hog looks hurt.
Forget this. Come on, Richie. I think that's enough.
Hog stands. He's done. But I make one more press to Harry.
There's really nothing else you can tell us?
I promised I'd never give him up, and I would never let him down.
I got it. You can stop right there.
I would never turn around.
Stop.
Nor desert him.
This was a mistake.
I stand, and Hog and I turn to leave.
I can tell you this. You're close, Richie Buck. Don't stop hunting. There are Easter eggs everywhere.
Easter eggs?
Everywhere.
Great, thanks.
Basket case. Hog and I start away from the table, having no idea where the elevator is. That's embarrassing.
Elevator?
Head southwest.
This way.
Hog and I walk across the large room, past Amelia's airplanes.
What's this guy's deal?
He didn't seem that off the mark to me.
We came all the way out here for him to tell us nothing.
We reach the wall. Still don't see an elevator.
Harry?
I said southwest. For the Easter eggs.
I'm gonna kill this guy. We're just looking for the elevator.
We don't need any more charges this trip. Sorry, southwest. Right, got it.
We move back across the room in the opposite direction.
There you go. You're getting warmer.
Thanks,
weirdo.
When we get back topside, we find Billy modeling a cap, a t-shirt, and a UFO necklace that he bought.
I think I'm gonna give this to Jasmine.
Hog winces. So much makes sense now. Funny how when just a window is cracked into someone's life, it can sometimes explain the whole house.
You lads ready?
Yeah, let's go home.
We make our way back outside into the dry desert air.
So he doesn't know where Santa is?
Says he does, but can't tell us.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know anything.
What's his problem?
And with that, Hog walks ahead and gets into the car.
A matter of the heart.
Isn't that all of our problems?
Traffic into Las Vegas was stop and go for a while.
Oh, I cannot wait to get home and sleep in our bed.
Your bed? Gosh, why don't you guys just go ahead and get married?
Merry Christmas tattoos?
Richie, you know I would never.
I stared daggers at Billy.
I know, it was a joke. Maybe we can get some temporary ones.
We'll see. Oh, what is it with this traffic?
Just then, an SUV swerves in front of us, causing us to slam on the brakes.
What in the bloody hell? Are they drunk?
Sure seems like... Wait.
What?
Suddenly, it all makes sense. I go back through the clues, the Easter eggs. Harry Whodunit was right. First off, several folks, including Krampus and Dewberry, had heard Santa had traveled west. Then there was Jasmine. She was convinced that he was not in Las Vegas, but did have visions of a casino, saw lots of red and green, was convinced there were lumps of coal, and that there was some Georgia connection. Oh, and don't forget, he's sad he let me down. Now, let's look at the Cardelphians. They seem to pinpoint him between 36 and 37 degrees north latitude and about the same south latitude. As a reminder, cities that fall in that range could include Nashville, Houston, Dallas, Austin, Orlando, Miami, Mexico City, Buenos Aires, and who knows after we get off the Americas. Next, from Santa Claus, Santa's daughter and the person who has the motive to want to find him the most. She said if you live in a place that is white and gray and cold 364 days a year, you're bound to look for something different. Then there was St. Patrick, who told me to pay attention to what was in front of my face. Now, Harry Whodunit said look southwest for the Easter eggs.
I know where he is.
Idling in front of our car is an SUV. On the back of it is the answer we've been searching for this whole time.
Are you going to tell us?
No. I'm going to show you.
Oh, Richie, Derek said no more detours.
Derek didn't know I was going to get his client back to him so he could provide the proper defense.
We really should call him.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Hey, Richie, you on the plane yet?
I look at Myra, Hog, and Billy and smile.
Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you.
You're kidding, right?
Never gonna make you cry. Never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie.
Myra, you there?
And hurt you.
Myra looks at me. She's worried. She doesn't want to hurt me, but she also made a promise to Derek.
Myra!
We dropped her off already.
What do you mean, dropped her off?
Well, we've got to go on a little trip.
What little trip, Richie?
I know where he is.
Then tell me. Let me negotiate a peaceful surrender. Just like I negotiated your release this morning. Remember that?
No can do. I have to see him first.
Richie, this is a bad idea. A really bad idea, man.
I know. I'm full of them.
When Myra's plane's back, I'm coming to find her.
Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you.
What the f***, Buck? You really are a motherbucker.
Please report. So you're not coming home?
Not until after I get him and bring him back to face the music.
I think this is a mistake.
It's the only way, Myra. It's the only way.
It's very selfish, you know. Saying your way is the only way. You're not taking me into account at all.
Of course I am.
If only you were.
Myra kisses me and clutches me very tightly. Tightly in a way as if we might never see each other again.
Remember, I came here for you, not for him. You came here for him, not for me.
The look she gives me knocks me to my core.
I love you, Richie Buck.
I love you, Myra Abernathy. We'll have special tacos next Tuesday.
I sure hope so.
I promise.
We kiss again and she moves towards security.
Okay, you guys ready?
Let's do it!
I think I'm gonna sit this one out.
What?
Yeah, gotta deliver the sweet UFO necklace to Jasmine.
Hog tenses.
You don't wanna know where he is?
Of course not. I was glad when he was gone. Good luck, losers.
Billy Krampus walks away to catch up to Myra.
He better not hurt her.
You care a lot about Jasmine, don't you?
First time I saw her was in the 7th grade. She was in 4th. Apparently, she had been at the school a whole year before that. But I didn't know, because she hung out with friends on my blind side. Either way, I knew from the first time I saw her, she'd be the only girl I'd ever love.
I feel sorry for Hog. He looks like a guy that wouldn't have a soft spot, yet here he is. a tear filling one eye and a damp spot collecting at the base of his eye patch. I put my hand on his shoulder.
I think sometimes our journey ambles, but eventually we end up where we belong. At least I hope that's the case.
I hope so too, Richie Buck.
Hog smiles. If I hadn't said it before, this dude works out. Once all this is over, I need him to train me so I can start getting buff for the wedding, or maybe more so for the honeymoon. We approach the ticket counter and 1,000 thoughts are buzzing through my head. Will the next couple days bring the story to a close? Will we catch Santa? Am I finally on the right track?
Hello there, welcome to Southwest Airlines. How can I help you?
Hi.
Wait a minute. What are you dressed as? Naughty elf?
That's very flattering.
Sexy elf? Give me a minute. I'll get it right. There are 7 of them, right?
I think you're thinking about dwarves.
Oh, don't get me started on them.
Well, we just had these tickets to head back east, but a change of plans are in order.
Okay, let me pull up your profiles. Okay, these tickets are non-transferable, you know.
Oh, that's okay. This is too important.
Alrighty then. Where are we traveling today?
Yeah, Richie, where are we headed?
It was right in front of me all along. Santa told me where he was. I was just too damn distracted.
Hooves up. Headed to...
Santa Maybe Your Criminal was conceived at Mac McGee's in Atlanta, Georgia by Jason Ussery, Rebecca Sebastian, Shiloh Catanese, Scott Musgrove, Michelle Kaz, and a few rogue elves. To become a rogue elf, head over to Patreon where you can be naughty, nice, a VIE, that's very important elf, even the mayor of the Nopo. That's patreon.com/Santa Maybe. Santa Maybe a Criminal is an Ear Cult production and is written by Jason Ussery, hosted by Richie Buck, podcast production and editing by Richard Buck, social media designed and delivered by Ricardo Buck, website management by Ricky Buck III, all other duties as assigned by Richard Buck. Santa Sleigh sound design by Captain Fat Hands. Music and sound effects provided by paying through the ears to multiple royalty-free audio providers, not the least of which is Epidemic Sound, Soundstripe, and Universal Music for Creators. Give us a 5-star rating and a review wherever you listen to get on the permanent nice list, or you can roll the dice. You've been warned. Up next, a public service announcement for an organization active in the true crime space. And remember, always, always, always be nice.
When a person goes missing, their loved ones often find themselves overcome with worry and grief. Bruce Maitland started the 501c3 nonprofit organization Private Investigations for the Missing because he knows this feeling all too well.
When Bruce's daughter Brianna disappeared in March 2004, he was surrounded by licensed private investigators dedicated to finding her. Now his mission is to provide dedicated private investigators at no cost to other families of the missing, desperate for answers but without the financial means.
Private Investigations for the Missing needs your help. To read the mission statement, make a donation, and keep up with our blog, visit us at investigationsforthemissing.org and follow us at PI for the Missing on Twitter and Facebook and Investigations for the Missing on Instagram.
Because forever is too long to wait.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.